Whether you're a seasoned business leader or just starting out on your entrepreneurial journey, you'll have questions around how to navigate the complex and ever-changing business landscape. In Zuwani's At The Lake sessions, we discuss thought-provoking topics, exploring practical ways to align our day-to-day business activities with God's plans and purposes.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
Zuwani is a Swahili word, which means at the lake. And so part of that thinking, the kind of prophetic meaning behind that name, was that a lake is a place where you can come for refreshment, you can come for community, you can come for commerce, but it's also a place where you come, you get refreshed, and you go away again. We're not all here living at the lake. We're coming and we're going back into the spaces that God's positioned us in. And so that's what also these At The Lake events are really meant to be. They kind of got birthed, or the idea was birthed, at our launch event, which was now almost 3 years ago. And Cham Tikiso from our community is also on our advisory panel. Said, oh, we should really have a place where we can have some tough conversations or discuss tough topics, but in a safe and secure environment where we can learn from each other. And that's where this At The Lake event was birthed from, where we discuss different topics, we dig into them, and we hear from different people who have lived out some things so that we can learn from each other. And so we're going to have a great panel discussion today, but that doesn't mean that the panel are the only ones speaking. We love our chat to be really active, so please feel free to engage there, to see who's on the call, to say hi to people, to introduce yourself. Those of you that have joined since we started, feel free to introduce yourself. Tell us where you're joining from. The great thing about Zuwani also is that we have a Pan-African representation with some international representation here as well. And so it's great to see where everyone's joining from. So please feel free to engage on the chat function. We also have a number of team members who are looking out if there's questions or different things, and they're able to give you some answers. But also, while we're going through the panel discussion, if you have questions, we're going to have a time where we're going to pose some questions to the panel as well. And so please do use that chat function. The team will be monitoring it and pulling out any questions there. And so please feel free to really engage there. For those of you that know where your reaction buttons are on your Zoom, we love some reactions as well. So if you want to throw hearts out, if you want to throw thumbs up out, if you, as people are sharing, feel free. Really make this your home and feel free to be engaged. Just because it's a Zoom call, it doesn't mean that we don't have to engage and have fun together as well. So we're getting into the topic of integrity again today. And those of you that have been a part of At The Lakes before might remember that last year we had an At The Lake called The Cost of Integrity. And today we're looking at integrity from almost the other side of what are those opportunities of integrity? What is the benefit of integrity, and how do we actually see integrity as taking some of those challenges? Sometimes we can see integrity as a challenge, and actually, what are the opportunities? What's our mind shift around? Actually, what does this bring us? But we also want to be practical. And so that's why we want to learn from people who have had some of those practical examples. It's funny. It's not really funny. But when we met together with the panel ahead of time to discuss this topic, we had people coming in who that day, you know, had come from a morning of dealing with a situation of, how do you deal with integrity in the marketplace? And so this is a very relevant topic. I'm sure everybody on this call could sit on this panel and give us examples of when you've had to figure out what it looks like to live out integrity in the work that you do. And so we know that it is a really relevant topic that we want to figure out together. So we really just invite you. We're going to be hearing from biblical perspectives as well. We're going to be hearing from the panel's own experience, what they've lived out, and we're going to be learning from each other. But again, also in the chat, if you've also had lessons that you've learned yourself, feel free to also give that little examples around something that you've done, or an example that you've lived out. Also, feel free to share that. We are obviously listening to our panel today, but everybody here has really a lot of value to bring around this topic. And so please feel free to share. We're also going to have, at the end of the session, for those of you that have extra time, there's going to be small group breakaway sessions where the panelists are going to be available. If you've got any additional questions, if you want to drill down into something a little bit more, if at the end of it, there's still something that's sitting on your mind going, oh, I'd love to just think about this more, or soundboard something with some community members, or you just want to meet some people in the community and say hi, share what stood out to you in the session. And if you do have that extra capacity after the call, please feel free to stay on. And we love connecting and being able to have a bit of conversation at the end as well. And so there'll be 20 minutes for that at the end of the session. But I'm not going to delay too much further. We want to hear from our lovely people. And so I have the privilege today of introducing Myna, who's going to be facilitating and moderating the conversation, and as well as giving some of her inputs. Myna Koela is the executive director of Beautiful Gate in the Western Cape in South Africa. I also have the privilege of calling her a friend as well. We used to be in church together. And so I know Myna and her husband, Pastor Brian, who's also on the call with us, and her family as people who are passionate about God. They're passionate about living out their calling. And they have been incredibly strategically positioned by God in a number of different places. And so, currently Myna is the executive director of Beautiful Gates, as I said. That's an NPO in South Africa that really works to care and protect for children in the communities that they work with, but they do it in a holistic way. So they're focusing on families, they're focusing on empowering families, and really prioritizing those family units, and they do incredibly impactful work in their communities. And mine also has a very varied history, work history, life history. She's got incredible stories, so if you ever get the chance, I'd encourage you to get to learn more about Myna. Maybe you'll meet her somewhere along the way. But Myna has worked in a number of different areas. She's worked in research. She has done a diploma in business management around leadership innovation. She's done some cultural consulting as well, has done translating, and has worked as an expert in a number of different topics. And so she brings a really wide array of insight and experience with her today. And so I'm going to pray quickly before I hand over to Myna, and then Myna will introduce the rest of the panel as they get joined as well. And so, join me as we just pray for this discussion today. God, thank you so much for this opportunity where we can just come together as business leaders who have a similar heart. God, we want to just see you move in our marketplace. We want to see you move across our continent. We want to see you move in the ways that you've positioned us. And I just pray for this conversation today. I pray for Myna as she facilitates, and for Nissi and Catherine, and for Christian as they share their stories and their experience. Lord, we pray that we would just hear what you have to say to us, and help us take what's shared and really apply it in our own lives, in our own spaces. And God, thank you for the blessing of community and knowing that there are others out there on our continent who are passionate about really seeing kingdom come in our marketplace as well. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Emily. It just reminds me how old I am when I see you as a young person now engaging with me. So I'm going to say Molweni, and I was going to say good morning, and then I realized in Xhosa there's only one way to say hello, is Molweni. So good afternoon, everyone. It's really like a good time to be able to engage with one another in this wonderful, wonderful afternoon. And I'm learning from these people that are going to be talking here. And I like the lake, because in Xhosa you've got Izigo, which is a similar thing where everyone comes together and gather together in the same place. So welcome to Ziwani at the lake. So I would like to introduce my friends, because we met and then I've been adopted as a Nigerian. So I'm embracing that by my other brother. So I want to embrace my Africanness. So I'd like to introduce Nissi. Can you just maybe give us a few minutes of your time? I think it's wonderful. I can't see it properly. Nissi, do you want to really maybe talk, because it's blurred on my side, who you are? Okay, Nissi is the CEO of Biz Connect Africa in South Africa, with a diversified interest in property development and procurement. So I think, Nissi, maybe if you like it, as people read your slide, I think it's kind of like making you a little bit relaxed. maybe just like one or two things about who you are.
I'm a husband, a father, I'm a business person. I'm passionate about marketplace ministry, manifesting God in the marketplace. I've been doing business since I was a teenager, but formerly for about 20 years. I live in Cape Town. I'm Nigerian by birth. I work in both countries, and I'm an Africanist. I don't know what else to say.
No, thank you so much. That was quick and short for an African person. So we appreciate you being so short. And then we're going to go to you, my brother Christian, a little bit short. I think it's nicer for you guys to talk about.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Christian, I'm in Ghana, Accra. I grew up here. I haven't had a lot of travel, just a few cities in Africa. I am married to Mabel. She's on the call. We have three kids. I pastor a church, which I started just under 5 years ago. And then I also lead a small training organization in Ghana that is into leadership development for individuals and corporate organizations. I've had the wonderful opportunity of traveling in some countries to facilitate training and leadership development for some organizations. I am passionate about people and people development. I am passionate about God, and I look forward to seeing people who are taking their Christian life everywhere they find themselves, and not just in the four walls of the church. And I'm happy to engage with you this morning or afternoon, depending on where you are. I wish you well.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Catherine, you are Zimbabwean living somewhere. Please give us an insight of this life of yours, that being like a global trotter or maybe an Africanist. Just tell us a little bit about who you are. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Afternoon.
Thank you, Maina. Thanks, Maina. So yes, I am Tanzanian. I grew up and lived in Zimbabwe. And actually, when I was coming back home to Tanzania, well, I thought I was coming back home, but they have a term for people like me now, and they call us third culture kids, because you're not coming back home. You're coming to a third culture. Anyway, but that's a story for another day. My name is Catherine Katala. I live and work in Tanzania. I'm a business person here. I have a restaurant. I cater for a school. I have an interior decor shop. We make furniture and other interior things. I should be in farming. I have a farm. I haven't done anything there yet, but we'll get there. So as you can see, I want to do a lot of things, but the essence or at the core, what's really important to me is to create employment, to create jobs, and to really make an impact in young people or in society in general through creating jobs. Thanks, Maina.
Thank you so much, Katrina. I was like, you are giving them everything now. Just like, hold on there. So our desire today is really like a conversation among four friends. But if you have any questions, please put them in the chat. And then later on, we'll come back to the questions. But I thought, starting with you, Catherine, with this question, and then you guys are more than welcome to jump in at any time when this question comes. Any question where you feel like, oh, I've got something to say there. It's a conversation. We are sitting at the lake, right? So there's no formalized way like this is question one, this is question two. This is like a conversation and helping each other as God's people in Africa, navigating this space of being God's presence in the world. So my question, I'm starting with you, third world, third generation child. I love that. I love that. As followers of Christ, we are called not only live a dualistic life. How does your faith guide you in making decisions and navigating through crisis, situation in your business, particularly when we are faced with ethical dilemmas? You know, we know the brown envelopes, you know, we know the certain things. It's like, you know, like, how do you not compromise under pressure when you know that you want to make an impact, but you know the system is not on your side? So just like maybe you start, Catherine, and then you brothers can chip in maybe with stories, you know, things that people can say, oh, I was part of that. Now I know how to deal with the situation. Just like that, how you not compromise your integrity.
Thanks, Maina. So having looked at question one and two, they, for me, I know, you don't have to go ahead, but I'm saying this because for me, they merge. And so that's just, I'm just putting this out there. But the scripture that comes to mind for me is that in him we live and move and have our being. And so when I am faced with challenges, a hard decision, a dilemma, like, do I pay a bribe or not? Like, immediately, I have to say, something rises up in me, a boldness, a strength, a righteousness, a power that just rises up when situations like that present themselves. And as my pastor says, there's nothing good in me. It's Christ in me. And so I can say that in situations like that, and I feel the rise of this, just a no, I'm not going to do that. And a boldness, like, no matter what you do or no matter what you threaten me with, I'm not going to do that. And the story that comes to mind is, and I have many, but the one that immediately comes to mind is we had inspectors come to the restaurant and they found, I don't know, expired cream, or maybe one of my workers didn't have their updated health certificate or something. And so they had something to catch me on, as it were. And I knew that, okay, what's going to follow is, if you pay something, if you help me out, we'll help you out. And I mean, there was no thought. I didn't invest any like discussion in my mind as to whether I'm going to pay a bribe or, and at instances like that, I think to myself, and this is what really taught me about myself, about my relationship with my business, is that, well, where did my business come from? Oh, it was birthed in God. And therefore, I can't afford to contaminate it with anything. And for me, I stand on that each time with each fear, with each temptation. I stand on that. I will not allow any contamination on this business, because it actually wasn't my idea. It wasn't my birthing. And I ended up telling them that before I pay a bribe, I will close this business. That is just what I am willing. That's the price I'm willing to pay. I will not compromise on that. So thanks for the opportunity to answer that.
Thank you very much. I was seeing like the brothers. I'm like thinking, I'm sure they've got some stories to add to this question, because I think we take it for granted. So I think they have been like faced with similar things. And I like the fact that you're saying like you'd rather close than defile the Lord. So I want to hear from them. What will they do in this situation?
Yes, I am excited to talk about this. I believe strongly that no one can walk with God until they have integrity, high integrity and high moral standards. I like it when Catherine said that it's not about her, but it's about Christ in her. And I think that that's one of the things that we all need to recognize, that at any point in time, the Spirit of God that lives in us, we need to be conscious of that presence in us. I mean, I've often shared the story of how several years ago, before I came into business, I took a job with an organization. And the understanding was that for the first 3 months, I wasn't going to be paid. I had to make my way in and out and take care of my own lunch and everything. And I was working on a project for the organization. I had to go make payment to a client or a supplier for use of their hall. Now, when I took the check to make the payment, this supplier was so excited that I brought them business and they gave me 20% of the money back for myself. I remember she actually said, this is for you, not for your company. And thank you for bringing me this business. And I'm giving you this so that you can always bring business to organization. I was excited because I did not have any means to transport myself. It was going to help me for at least 2 weeks to take care of my needs. But just when I was descending down the stairs of this organization, I heard the Spirit of God speak to me. And I think that's where we all need to recognize the presence of God in our lives. I heard the Spirit of God speak to me and he said, is this what you want or what I'm about to bring you? Then it dawned on me that God was about to do something in my life, that if I take this money, which did not believe to me, belong to me, it was going to block what God had to do in my life. So when I got to the office, I walked to the finance department, to the accountant, and said, hey, they gave me this money, but I don't think it belongs to me. It belongs to the organization. So take it. They gave me a full receipt covering the full amount, but find a way to put it back. I'm sure they look at me and thought that this guy might be very stupid and all that. But I realized that God needs us to walk with him in high integrity and high moral standards. I mean, it wasn't surprising when just after 2 weeks of that incident, the Lord opened a big door for me and I had to move out of that place into a job that gave me the biggest opportunity in my life. And I knew very well that if I had compromised on my integrity and not listened to the Spirit of God at that time, I was going to miss out on something that was going to change my life forever.
Wow. I'm like, Nisi's like, how can I say this now after this too?
You got it. I almost wanted to pass because they said everything. But, well, I have to add that, having done business for many years, I have probably faced, I don't know, hundreds or thousands of those kinds of situations, and I'm sure it's the same for most people. And where does faith, my faith, help me? You know, the Bible is a guidebook. It's actually a rule book. Some people will say that sounds legalistic, but actually, the Bible has how we should do life. And so that is the primary help you get. If you are a child of God, if we are children of God, we then are guided on what to do. We then know what our Father likes and what he does not like. So I think per situation, what my faith has done for me is to refer me back to the scripture, to the Bible, to the word of the Lord and say, this is what is right, or this is the path you should go, walk in it. And I have learned over the years that integrity of heart is what I can offer. And what integrity of heart means is having the heart condition to do the right thing. I've learned that in terms of actions over the years, it takes the grace of God not to compromise. It can be, sometimes the stakes can be so high that if God doesn't step in and help you, and God does very many things, miracles, signs, wonders, and all that. So it is integrity of heart that for me, I mean, it might not be the same for others, for me, that sometimes I go to God and I say, Lord, this one looks impossible. This is like Mount Everest of a challenge. Only you can walk me around it. And I found that he never fails. So that is where faith has helped me to be able to know that I can lean on God for those very difficult situations to be able to avoid integrity issues.
Thank you so much. I think there's a closer idiom says inyati buzwa ngaba phambili, which the buffalo is asked from the ones who have gone before. But that's when you say it like directly, it doesn't make sense. But wisdom is gathered from the people that have lived. And I think that the second question really for me is for you guys to think deeply, because I think there is an easy thing to think about what is good in being a Christian. But like the question that I really want, The difficult navigation of this thing, where has embracing integrity in the tough situation led to unexpected opportunity or learning experience? But also like maybe like the failures in that, because I think like it's easy to give a solution of what is good in doing this, because not all of us really like walk 100% with the Holy Spirit and do the right decision. But in businesses, there are times where the business is under pressure and you lean towards not doing the right thing. What would be, like, in that conversation of, like, the unexpected opportunity or learning experience, maybe starting with the learning experience, because I think that is something that gives us like an idea that I should not be doing what they did. Maybe you guys are more godly than I am, so I don't know. Any of you can just really like maybe talk about, you know, like the opportunities that led it to an unexpected opportunity or learning experience. And I think if you don't mind really starting with the learning, because I think we've heard what it can be, but then maybe just help navigating like some of the learnings in that. That's a question too. You guys are like, we are good Christians. We haven't learned anything in life.
Go for it, Nisi.
I was going to say ladies first. Catherine, go for it.
Well, do you know, Myna, I don't know if I wish I could share about a time when I've bribed. No. But I really don't have an example of when because from the onset, I really just understood that this is not me. And God, you're just going to have to show up for me, you know. But I will say that learning in seeing inspectors come and finding something wrong, well, it just made me make sure that they won't find anything that's wrong with my business. So make sure that there's nothing expired in the fridge. Make sure that all the workers have their health certificates updated. And, you know, things like that, and just being ready. But also it taught me something about myself. And I got to know God more. And I always say that I would not swap my experiences, no matter how terrifying. I mean, there are days when I've been threatened to being taken into the cell, really. And I've just stood my ground. And afterwards, I thought to myself, who is that? Like, where did I get that strength and that boldness from? So I did learn something about myself. And I learned that God shows up every single time. Like, he will not let you down. And also, God does test us to prove us, as the psalmist says. He proves us, he tests us to see, as it says in Deuteronomy 8, what my heart is made of. What am I, you know, what sort of a person am I really in my heart? What's my heart like? So these opportunities for me have been to learn more about myself, to learn about who God is and what pleases him. Hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry I don't.
No, it's not sorry, Catherine. Thank you so much. I'm sure the brothers, you know, I can see you very young. I'm joking. But I think I like what you're saying, because there's a sense of self-knowledge in who you are and how you have started your business. And the consistency, this is Myna's understanding of what you are saying. And that's a blessing in itself, to be able to know from an onset who you are and not being challenged to divert. So there's nothing to be apologetic about. It's almost like someone who's also thinking, knowing who I am in order to withstand certain things that I can. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not supposed to be like commenting on you, but I thought that was such a beautiful way of self-knowledge as a leader. But let me go to my elders. I'm sure they've got something powerful to say.
Myna, very early in my life, I learned two lessons, and those lessons have guided me to have certain principles around me. And I think that has helped me, having come into business and leadership, that has helped me to avoid the pitfalls of being compromising on integrity. I will share these two experiences quickly. And this has happened very early in my career before I transitioned into business. One was in Ghana, and of course, in many parts of Africa, when you leave university, you serve the government for 1 year. That's national service. I had to pay someone to influence my choice of where to do my national service. Okay. So instead of allowing the system to send me where I needed to serve, I didn't want to go to a rural area. I didn't want to go teach in a school. I just wanted a good company so I can work there. And I chose a company where I was so sure that after serving the government, I was going to get a job, because the owner of this company was in church with us, was a leader in church with us. So I was so sure about everything. Now I got into this place. I worked so well, did my work fantastically. Everyone was happy about me and my output. Now, 1 month, just a few weeks after we left for us to end service, something happened that had to do with some financial situation in the office, which I couldn't explain. And the person who I was hoping to back me up, gave up on me, and I had no explanation, and I was asked to leave. Here am I. I was so sure about getting the job because I didn't want to go anywhere else. And I knew this business owner, and there was no way it was going to let me go home. But a situation happened, which meant that I needed to go home. I went back home and I was like, what is this? And I learned a big lesson from there. The lesson was never influence any system with money to your advantage. Allow God to put you where he needed to put you. I look back and I'm like, God could have put me anywhere around the country in a rural community where I could have made bigger impact in the lives of people. But here am I looking out for myself and think not trusting God enough for what he has for me. So I went to choose what I thing will work for me. The other example was I believe in tithing. I believe in giving God his due. I did not tithe. I could not explain why. Now, the amazing thing was that after 1 year of working, something happened. I lost some money. I could not explain how I lost that money. Then I look back at how much money I lost. And then I realized that it was exactly how much I was supposed to pay as tithe within 1 year that I did not pay. Then it dawned on me that God has, through some means, taken what I was supposed to give to him, which I did not give to him. That was also a big lesson for me. I was like, never will I ever earn income and not give God his due. I will always do this. So these two episodes in my life, gave me clear lessons from which I set clear principles for myself from the beginning of from the continuation of my career until when I got into business and started business. So that's why probably we don't have enough to share when it comes to how the experience we have had in business. It's because very early in our lives, we learned the lesson and we put in place the principles. Then again, you cannot walk with God and compromise on your integrity and your high moral standards. This is, again, let me repeat, there's a spirit that lives in us, and the spirit of God will always when we have to do something wrong. It is up to him and do what we want to do. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow. I think, Nisi, you're going to have to answer this question with moving us forward to question three, because I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I think maybe can you as you answer the other question is like, can you really provide us with the example of how you have this has successfully influenced your team and your approach in business? So you go back to the lessons, but then take us forward is like being an I don't know English. I was going to say integratically, but that's not English. Being a leader of, this is English. It sounds right. But being a leader of integrity, what is the blessing in that when you are really genuinely a person that you know that would not take, I saw there was like a chai tea from Uganda, Tanzania. There's a brown envelope. I think here it's cool drink. I'm not sure in other countries what it is. But there is something about standing, and I like Christian's lessons. So I think maybe then they can take us Yabo. So I'm like trying to steer us into another direction here.
Thanks. I think those were very wonderful examples. I was very marveled at Catherine's experience. You know, I came into business. I went into church missions for some years, and then the Lord led me back into business. And so I remember my first, at that time, what was a significant transaction. I had gotten money from the clients, paid for everything, imported it. My profit was very little. So all the money had gone as the product I shipped. So if that product is lost, I'm in trouble. And then I had a clearing agent. And just in the midst of the clearing agent calls me up and tells me, look, this thing goes through 73 hands so that they can collect bribes. Now they're asking for money, a certain amount of money to let the thing go through. I literally wept. I cried. I really told God, why did you bring me into this business? You should have just let me stay in missions and just collect salary from the church, and then I won't be in this thing. I guess the Lord tried to remind me that if he had wanted me to be born in a perfect place, probably, if it is possible, if there's a perfect place, he would have brought me out in the Vatican. But he chose to bring me out in Africa. So I had to navigate that place. Now, the lesson so how did I navigate? First thing I realized is that I have to ask God for wisdom to manage without paying that bribe. Of course, I ranted at my agent. I don't want to pay a bribe. I don't believe in bribery and all that. And so he never asked me for a bribe anymore and always gave me my bill. So I was very full of integrity. 10 years later, I discovered that he had still been bribing. I had been paying him. He just knows I don't react to him. So he does not ask me for the bribe. He gives me a fee. And then he takes it and pays the bribe. So I needed mercy. I needed to repent, lest I get to heaven and then they bring out the book and they say, this is my son, you take the bribe. So the lesson I took out from there is that by strength shall no man prevail. That we need a lot of God's grace and mercy. You can do things you don't know you're doing them, but you're doing them. That was the big lesson. The other lesson I learned was to double check, you know, how did it help me to lead in our business? I realized that when we tell people where we stand, directly and indirectly, it moves them in that direction. Now, I'm not justifying my agents paying a bribe on my behalf, but he heard that I don't believe in things like that, and he stopped bringing me bad deals. So in my business, I realized that the primary way to teach a thing is to communicate it. If we don't say anything, then people don't know where we stand. So I realized that we have to make it a habit to live it and to communicate it. Sometimes what prevents you from doing something funny is because you have told your followers that you don't believe in something funny. And so when something funny pops up, everybody looks at you and says, but you said you're a Christian. They don't say it, but they're thinking it, and you can see it on their face. But it also makes it easier to navigate when we have similar value systems. I think that's one of the things I've learned, is to try to communicate the value systems to my people and try to live it out, talk about it, and of course have a lot of room for mercy when there are mistakes, because trying to present this thing as if our teams will not make mistakes or ourselves would be unrealistic. But trying to help our people know that, okay, you got it wrong this time, or we got it wrong this time as a business, and we can do better. Let's try to hold ourselves as a group to higher standards and do it better next time.
No, thank you so much. I think like the third question, it's really like might have to go with the fourth question. But I think like I hear what you guys are talking, and I think like the third question is really like about creating a culture of integrity. Like we're talking to you as individuals, but in business, you are not the individual that is against the world, but there are certain things within the organization. And how do you create that culture of integrity in your businesses or organization, and then how your team approaches that? So in case I do not have time to ask this other question, I'm going to put question number four, so that it's a free for all for the, you know, because I think it talks to, I think question four talks to question three. It's like, it's challenging enough to be honest, and it hurts to be honest, and then you don't get the profits because, you know, you had that, and brand envelopes could be bringing more houses to be sold, you know, and then you said no to it. But I think, how do you then, like create this. And then it's almost for me, like if like I was to explain it in the simplest minor English, how do you embody the integrity that translates to your values into your business and organization so that your team and people around you know that you are living out this life of integrity? I liked my English, integratically living. It's not in the dictionary, but it sounds right. Because, you know, it's like maybe just like how, like in your, like almost like the integration of what you are talking about in your business, in your life, and also like in mentoring others, which is, you know, yeah. Any of you can go.
This is very, go for it, Christian. Thank you.
All right, thank you for allowing me to have your place. All right.
She's a leader of integrity. Losing her place for you.
I feel like a lady right now. All right, thank you so much. It's important for us to know that there are consequences for every action or every pathway that we take. And as leaders, when we choose the pathway of integrity, we will face consequences. Mm-hmm. We will lose some opportunities because we decided to do the right thing and to please God. It's important for us to know that it's better to please God than to make more money. It's important to leave a good name than to make more money. As Christians, everywhere we go and in everything that we are doing, we are living out our Christian life, our Christian culture, our Christian values, in our business transactions, the way we speak to our employees, in everything that we do, we are living out the culture of the kingdom. So in our workplaces, in my business, I've realized that even though these clear principles are in place, and every team member is trained to understand that this is how we operate, this is our culture, we don't do this, we don't do that, we live by these principles, it is also important for me as a leader to live by these principles. Okay, and if I do not live by the principles, then it's difficult for my team to internalize the principles and live by them as well. So the key thing for me as a leader is my ability to live by these principles, to be an example to my team members. I think that's the best I can give to them. No training would do to an extent. Talking about it would do to an extent, but living it, being an example to the team, will go a long way to change the mindset and the perspective of the team, for them to understand that our leader or our team lead will not do this, and so we should not do it. I think that one of the key things for us is to know that we are following Christ, and what Christ will not do, we should not do. So that, of course, in church, whilst we are serving God, there are things we know we will not do right there in church. But outside, we should take the same mindset, the same character, the same behavior to our workplaces, to our business dealings, to our dealings everywhere in our communities and everywhere we find ourselves. I believe strongly that if we are able to live out this life, then we are able to affect the people around us, our team members. Integrity, a simple definition of integrity is that being able to live out a certain consistent life, whether someone sees you or not, or what someone is looking at you or not. I think the key thing for us is that we always think that a human being must look at us before we do the right thing. But we need to always know that there is another human being who lives up there who is always looking at us. And that should serve as a guide for all of us. Yes, I have had difficult moments having to explain to my team members about certain actions we should not take because it will affect us. and sometimes difficult to communicate these things. It's difficult to understand because, hey, we need the money. Every business needs the money. But like I said before, it's important to please God than to make more money.
Thank you so much. Before I go to you, a lady and a gentleman, please let's ask questions. Maybe Mike have been having like a specific question that you want them to answer before we move on. This is not about like the questions that we have. It's also about the questions that you as a listener, I'm sounding like Oprah now, that was my desire in my previous life. So it's like you might have a question here. Please put them down so that the guys can deal with them in case you're like, oh, I wanted to ask that question before we split. So while between Catherine and Nisi are talking, please put your question down on the chat box, please.
You know, it's a thanks. Thanks for that good point, Christian. Role modeling is key. It's probably one of the biggest things. I've noticed that a lot of the questions focus on bribery. So we can know what the monster is in Africa. But integrity, it's not just bribery, it's many other things. I think one of the ways that has helped me with my teams, and you know, in our team, some people share our spiritual values and some don't. But I think one of the things that has helped us and can help us is using the model Jesus used. You know, Jesus converted people through signs and wonders. So we have to have marketplace miracles. We have to also be able to show people the impact of our path in our industry. I told you about the bribery in the industry I used to be in, clearing and shipping in our, you know, in one of our countries, and the 73 hands. I also used to make my team members know that God said I have put you in that industry because I want to transform that industry. You know, today you play things automatically in that industry. We've seen it go down from 73 to almost zero because we used to do our little, we believe that our little prayers and our little interactions and our little standing in the gap for our industry. So my team members also see the progress. And I think sometimes people enjoy things that, even those that are not Christians, enjoy things that are bigger than them. So when we're role modeling the next area of integrity, it's easy for team members to say, oh, wow, the team leaders took this position in the previous example and see how it has had positive impacts. Despite the negative things, I like the way Christian puts it. I mean, taking stands of integrity costs you. Despite the negative things, see the positive impact it has had in many ways. And then people have the buy-in and know that while God calls us to pay a price, God always rewards, you know, in his own way and in his own ways. You know, he said, whosoever leaves father, mother, land, and feet to follow me. He said, you'll have persecution, but he said, you'll also have hundredfold. And I'm not giving an investment principle, by the way. But but yeah, that he rewards for following him. Yeah.
I saw like a Christian, you responded to the question that was asked. You said, thank you. I don't know if you want to read it and answer, because I think it might be good to, you know, why should we you answer that question. Let me, do you want to read it or you want me to read it?
Please read it.
Okay. So the question, it says, so there are some clear-cut integrity issues like bribery. What about, I'm reading it from my phone. What about situation like exchange rate where the government imposes a completely unrealistic rate, which if you adhere to it, you will sink the business matters? So I think like maybe that is like, I think they're asking, Kathy, remember from Zim. So the kind of like it's going to you, you know. Maybe would you mind to answer that question? There was one that I saw before that one, but I'm going to look at it now.
Okay. So, you know, it's a really tough question. Because I was about to switch to Kiswahili there. All this talk about bribery, I feel myself, I must be speaking to some Tanzanian, some Swahili person. So in instances like that, I really believe that the Lord can give us ideas on how to get out of situations such as that. specific to that situation. God can really give you an idea on how to be wise as a serpent in a situation where, you know, the government, as you say, the government has imposed a ridiculous exchange rate. You know, like maybe you can buy something with your Forex. You know, I don't know, but I feel that in situations like specific situations, God can give you a wise idea in which to. At the moment, I'm trying to think of an example, but if it comes to me, I will
share. I think
share
that question might come back to you at some point. That person might join your group, you know.
Yeah. I better be ready.
We have 5 minutes left.
Can I make a comment there?
Yes.
If you're from Zimbabwe, Nigeria, or Egypt, you have those kind of questions at this moment. Yeah, those are real challenges.
Maybe 10 times South Africa will join the club.
Hopefully not. these are moments when those are real challenges. And just to underline what Catherine has said, you cannot be a sheep in the midst of wolves without a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
So those bathroom breaks, those moments when you say to the boardroom, can I go to the bathroom? And then you go and say, Lord, this is a helpless situation. What do I do? Mm-hmm. To be able to navigate the journey of integrity, I want to emphasize what she said. You need divine wisdom. You understand? Divine wisdom will show a way in impossible situations. And that will be part of the marketplace miracle. You know, sometimes it's creating a new thing. Sometimes it's shifting a thing. Sometimes it's showing you a loophole or a positive loophole that you can use. God always navigates us out of those situations if we depend on him. And sometimes he deliberately leaves us to depend on him. And if we depend on ourselves, we fail and we keep failing. So he allows us to depend on him to gain the victory and be able to say we did that.
So much. One sentence. How has your, I'm almost like looking for a practical example of how your integrity has been transferred from you to your team or your attempt to do so.
I like attempts, not my integrity.
Because I think we can talk in general. But I think I'm a storyteller. I like the quality in Tommy is it grieves like some sort of imagination of this is what integrity from me as a leader looks like.
Let me answer in part anyway. It's a really important question for me because we are salt of the earth, and if salt loses its flavor, the Bible says, it's good for nothing but to be chucked and trampled on. And so it is so important for us to be effective enough in our, as leaders in our businesses, that our people can become like little us, you know? And I have seen this with my people. They actually now understand this is a no compromise business, no matter what. So they know also now to make sure everything is in check. But also recently, one of our administration guys who pays for our licenses had gone to pay for a renewal of a license. And of course, as usual, the guy's trying to, you know, extort a bribe from him. Oh, we can't find it. And he's been already like 3 times. We can't find it, blah, blah, blah. My guy whips up his phone, takes a picture of him, and says, I'm going to report you, because he knew that this is really just to get a bribe from me. I mean, I was thrilled, because if you have people working for you who now understand, and even he's not even a believer, but he knows that I will not pay a bribe. And so he now, that's his mind. He too now won't pay a bribe. And so for me, I'm just really grateful to the Lord that it has translated into my workers.
Hmm. Any of you guys, just one example. Then we're going to go to the questions. I think people, the questions are lighting up my screen, so I am ready for questions. But I think the reason for me to ask, for you to make it practical, is that anybody to say it takes me to make that change doesn't take me, doesn't take somebody else, doesn't take to go to school. It takes me as an individual to really lead by example. So I think that's why that question is very important.
Can I just jump? I know I've like just, it'll this one.
You are the only, we are the only ladies here. Come on, let's jump, sister.
Okay, so I shared, I think, at our meet and greet about the experience with my, and I think it's a good story for us in the marketplace. If you run a business like mine, where you have guests coming in, patrons at the restaurant. But I had a guest, and Sids, you will know him, but I'm not going to mention his name. I had a guest come to the restaurant, and one of my waitresses made a pass at him, like wrote a note asking this man out. Oh, my word. Ooh, so thankfully, he's a friend of mine. And so when I found him there later, he told me what had happened. I have to just calm myself down, obviously, because I was just ready to fire her. I was so mad, so mad. I did thank the Lord, though, that it was my friend that she did this to and not a stranger who would then just go off and not tell me about it. So I confronted her afterwards, maybe even the next day when I had calmed down and wasn't ready to just fire her. And I asked her what happened. She tried to deny it initially, but then owned up. And so I know I had either, you know, two choices. I could fire her or just take this opportunity to teach her about integrity in the workplace. And I'm so grateful to the Lord just for calming me down and being able to speak to her in a kind and gracious way so that she would have the opportunity to change and to see the error of her ways. Thanks.
good point, Catherine. I think we've talked a lot about bribery and corruption and stuff, but we just need to remember that integrity is all encompassing. And while bribery and corruption is one of our biggest giants, how we pay our staff, what we pay them, how we deal with their work is one of the things that will impact them most. I have observed that sometimes we don't really take cognizance of those areas. You know, it is integrity to pay people a due wage. In fact, as a believer, it is integrity to make people be able to live a better life. So not just pay them a wage, but be concerned about how the best you can do to make them be able to improve their life, whether it's by payment or stuff like that. I think those kind of things also communicate. You know, I went to I need to be careful to say this, but somebody works in a certain activist. That person is a leading activist, is known globally. And the person is known globally for activism and works with international agencies. But the workers in the person's office are so measly paid, they're the worst paid people. So the workers don't believe anything he says. When you talk to the workers and you give an example of his activism, the workers just laugh and walk away. But the whole world celebrates it as an activism that corrects society. Mm. So these are some of the lessons, you know, just taking this message to other sectors, but especially in people's well-being. When we meet people's well-being in the right way, they tend to listen to the things that we stand for.
Thank you.
So very well. I think we need to stretch the conversation beyond just corruption and bribery into dishonesty, lies, and to forgery, into fraud, I mean, everyone is doing anything to survive today, including telling a lie, including forging documents, saying what they have not done before as though they have done it, just so they can win a contract or win a favor. I mean, this is all over. And I mean, people picking people's documents and taking their names off and adding their name to it and putting it there. I think as Christians, and we need to represent the Lord in a marketplace, and we need to prove that we are different. I look back, and there's a question that comes into mind, that if the Lord looks into real estate industry, he looks into the catering industry, he looks into the oil and gas industry, and he's looking for two people of integrity so he can make them leaders of those industries. He can make them the movers and shakers of those industries. Will he find us?
Yeah, thank you. I think after, just like as you...
1 minute comments. Christian's comments reminded me of those letters Paul writes. And then, you know, there's some of the letters that he takes time to list what evil is. Just in case you don't remember, he says, if you do this, you are living to the flesh. So Christian was carefully listed those things. I think we need those lists at times. Sometimes grace and stuff like that makes us forget or puts sections that we think are evil. So we need to remember that integrity is all encompassing with those kind of lists. Thanks.
Yeah, I think like that's why I kept on asking the question, so that also we talk about ourselves and how we contribute to that. Because the bribery is the monster outside there, and Jesus is this cover-up. But there is a character that is being built in you as a leader, as you lead the business, that requires self-knowledge and self-whatever, you know, like looking at things, because some things are naturally normal. Anyway, let me ask questions, because I am not here for minor's opinions, right? I'm here to make sure that we have a good discussion today. Are you guys still feeling all right? You guys are amazing. You are doing very well. So there's this question that I thought it might be good to ask. What do you do in a situation where legal representatives request for service charge to help you process a document which you simply wouldn't probably have been able to adequately process for yourself? You know that there might be a probability that the lawyer might give handouts in the course of process the document. How would you keep it clear? How do you keep a clear conscience in this situation when you know that the lawyer might have to pay a bribe in the line of the process? So the question is like, how do you continue to take the business knowing that both the lawyer and the government need the bribery?
Sorry, so just to understand, so you don't qualify for this job, or?
So the question is like, what do you do in a situation where legal representatives request for service charge to help you process a document which you simply wouldn't probably have been able to adequately process yourself? You know what? You know that there might be a probability that the lawyer might give handouts in the course of processing the document. How do we keep a clear conscience in a situation when you know that the lawyer might have to pay a bribe in the line of the process?
That's a very technical question. I don't know whether I could really get my mind around the question, but it sounds like I don't know if I had more clarity. It sounds like you're reading the person's heart. So, you know, how do you read the person's mind to know that he's going to take a bribe? You know, I wish I had that information. Have you been asked for a bribe or not? Because, I mean, you should not operate on assumptions. I think that's what I want to say. One has to be careful not to operate on assumptions. So it would be easier to deal with what has been done or what has been requested, and wait for what has not happened until it happens, and then you can seek wisdom to deal with it, whether it's to walk away, because there are different reactions you can have. You can walk away, you can report, you can challenge, you can do one experience I had where somebody asked me for something and I gave him a sermon on how his question deters foreign direct investment. And it was in the country I went to. And after that long sermon, that's the wisdom I had. He offered to be giving me escort services whenever I arrive in that country. So it can be anything, you know, but if it has not happened, you can't then answer what you think might happen because it may not happen. I don't know, unless I didn't understand that question well.
Hmm. Yeah, and also, I mean, sometimes you can have
documents
prepared legitimately for whatever it is. Like it can be a legitimate consultation that you pay someone to prepare. I mean, I don't know if it's for a tender or whatever it is, but it's done legitimately. And so you can also find a way to do it the right way. I also am not sure if I understood well, but.
I do think from a question that has been asked here that people, I think I can see a little bit more clarity into the other question. People are getting asked for fees, external fees for things that they genuinely qualify for.
Uh-huh.
And the officials are asking. So you qualify for this thing. You've applied. But at the point when it's supposed to be passed through, an official asks you for a facilitation fee. I think now I get a little bit more clarity there. So how do you deal with that? Facilitation fee or whatever that name is called. I think that's what the person is asking. But I'll let Christian take it from there so that I don't talk too much.
I will look at this from another perspective. I have heard stories of businesses pull out of a deal. I mean, something that could have made them a lot of money pull out because of this facilitation fees. I live in a country where I hear a lot of these stories every day. Foreigners come in trying to bring in projects, and because someone is asking for this facilitation fee, others call it protocol, they eventually have to pull out. Elsewhere, there are consequences to paying what they call a facilitation fee or a bribe. I mean, you could lose shareholders and all that. You could be blacklisted, but it looks like it's all in Africa where you want and all that. I mean, we have to set high standards for our stuff that if this is what is going to require for me to enter this market or for me to do this business, and for the rest of my life, I'm going to live knowing that I didn't show integrity hidden somewhere where someone will find out, it will taint my image, then it's better than to get into it and taint my reputation. And sometimes it will take 20 years when you've climbed up to the top of your business and doing so well, then someone pulls out a document to show that you paid bribe to get to this point. And that is going to be very embarrassing to us as Christian leaders. And I think that we need to stick to our point. If we are not aware of this bribe, then that is fine. But as long as it comes to our attention, we need to take a decision as to whether we should accept it or not. And that decision should be based on what God is telling us to do at that time.
Thank you. There's two questions because we don't have the time. I'm only allowed to ask you two questions. The first one is how do you differentiate between God giving you favors versus testing your integrity in the situation? Should I repeat the question? You look at you guys, you're like, say what? So how do you differentiate between God giving you favor versus God maybe testing your integrity in a situation? Are you able to say this is God's favor towards me, or I'm being tested to do the right thing? Probably that's the question.
I think that's a good question because we face such practical situations in our lives often. And I think either Catherine or Nisi made a comment about that, that in such situations, you need to, yes, Nisi, you need to excuse yourself and go to the washroom and ask God, God, what is this? What should I do about this situation? Sometimes truly it is God that is granting you a favor to push you through a certain circumstance. Other times too, it is a test on your character. And we need to be discerning at all times to know it's not going to work out, okay, where you do not qualify and you have to pay your way to qualify, then that, I think that it's not the right thing. But situations where you qualify, everything is right, and you are being asked to pay some money so they could facilitate you, that could also be a trap, and we need to be very careful about that. But I think that in either situation, we need to talk to God and hear from God about the direction that we should go, and not the direction that we want to go, because I mean, we're human beings and we want the best for ourselves at any point in time. So we need to be clear on what we want and what God wants for us at any point in time.
My lady, do you want to end there?
Well, just that, you know, what does the scripture say? God doesn't tempt us in that way, and that it is our own lust, our own, I'm sorry, I don't know where the scripture is, and I'm just paraphrasing, tempts us. Pardon?
I said James chapter 1.
Yes, it is our own lust that tempts us. And so we need to be careful sometimes to not credit God with, you know, is this God trying to test me, or, you know, or is this favor from God? Often we will know that God has made a way, God has made a way. God has provided. God is showing me favor. And there's no cost to God's favor. There really isn't. And I think we can. I'm thinking about my current contract with the school. They looked for me. I didn't look for them. Imagine. It was just favor. The favor of God. They knew me. And I think this is where Christian mentioned, you know, a good name. You're building a good name, and that takes time. Sometimes you think, oh, you know, why am I keeping, you know, on the straight and narrow? But people can see, and people are attracted to that, and people will look for you and seek you out and show you favor.
Thank you so much. Nisi, you've been like sitting on a chill space, and the questions that you'll be like referring, we like be outsourcing, you know. So this question is coming directly to you. So I think it's like really going through with what we just said now. This question, it says, if you messed up before and bribe an officer as you work with the staff, and all of you knew that you were saving the company from some tax men and license issues, how do you clean up that self? How do you clean up that self as a leader and become a role model again? How do you redeem yourself from a mess?
I think that's a very good question. I mean, like I said, you have to have been born in the Vatican to not have messed up before. And I think even if you were born in the Vatican, you would have messed up. You know, as you say, ask that question. I remember Jesus bending down and writing, if anybody is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Like I said previously, you may not have paid a bribe, but you may not have paid someone their due. You may not have done something else correctly. There is always messing up. That's why, to that question, this journey of integrity also comes hand in hand with understanding mercy, to be able to receive it and to extend it to people. We work with thieves. The people you employ are not at your level of integrity. They are starting. Sometimes you have to forgive them and clean them. You have to be able to extend mercy and also receive mercy and grace. And then remember that when we say to God, I'm sorry, he cleans it and starts afresh. But I think what is important is to have a heart of integrity. That means a heart that wants to do what is right. That is, don't know that something is wrong and you say, I'm going to do it, then I'll ask God for mercy. So that he, one brother asked a question like that. He said somebody was owing him money. He asked me, and that he was going to send assassins to kill the person. And will God not forgive him? And I should show him any scripture that God that will not forgive. And I think the Lord gave me a bit of wisdom. And I said, yes, you'll be forgiven in prison. That God will use you for prison ministry for the rest of your life while having forgiven you. So, yeah, God can restart us and give us an opportunity if we have the right hearts. And help us next time to avoid those known and unknown briberies.
Thank you so much. What I'm hearing from you guys, just before I hand over to Emily, there is an interesting question, which is like really like a problematic question for Africa, because before I answer this question, I'm just like listening to you and recognizing when Paul says to Timothy, watch your lifestyle and doctrine. I think being a leader of integrity is knowing whom you believe and what rules you're playing in the game with. And that understanding that I am a child of God. Therefore, the way my praxis of leading will be about who God is. And then what I'm also hearing is that we are sinners by nature. We will mess up. And I think like maybe what's important is also like for us as leaders to be able to say sorry, because that in Africa, someone buys you a cool drink and not use the words, I'm sorry. They kind of like, yeah, now you assume that that's sorry. So as Christians, how do we really practice using the words, I'm sorry, and the redemption and the conversation? But I'm going to paraphrase this question, because the question was like, how, maybe I read it, because I think I've got 3 minutes to give back to Emily. I'm trying not to be an African and finish on African time. So I want to make sure that I get that coffee. So this question is like, I was recently listening to the news in my country, and one highly respected leader in this country mentioned that it's very okay to steal from the rich to support the poor. This erodes the efforts of the integrity advantage we continue to steer among the youth. Looking at this event, what happens when the role models fail the youth in this fight against bribery and corruption? How do we continue to steer them up? Practical examples are welcome. You are on your own, my brothers and sisters.
I think that there's no right to steal from the rich and give to the poor. Then we're actually giving credence to the work of armed robbers and bandits to go steal from the rich and take care of the poor. So that would be wrong. That would not be a good society for us to live in. And it's unfortunate that sometimes there's the mindset of some people and they actually leave it out and do all these things. I think we need to all begin to speak up. We should not, the society has become corrupted. The people we look up to us, to lead us morally have become corrupted. So people don't care as leaders. All of us need to begin to speak up. We need to set up podcasts. We need to get on social media. We need to get into the mainstream media. We need to begin to have conversations. We need to take these conversations beyond this platform into other places, into our churches, into our communities. So let's begin to mentor young people, mentor other young people, so that hearing some of these things from some so-called leaders, which will give them a mindset that they can do the wrong, as long as they use the wrong to take care of the poor, it's fine. And so that we instill a certain culture and a certain mindset of integrity in our young people.
Thank you so much. Emily won't invite me again if I go over time, but it has been a wonderful afternoon. To my Queen Catherine and my brothers Christian and Nisi, thank you so much for your wisdom. And I'm hoping this is not the end of this conversation, because I think the challenge that Christian put in saying like about stealing, about lying and deceit, because it's easy to put it on the corruption only, but there's so many other things that lead to that. But thank you so much. Engosi kakhulu. I don't know how to say thank you. I think merci beaucoup. Emily, before I butcher other languages, thank you so much for trusting me to hold this space and this conversation. It's been amazing. And if you have any other questions, I think Emily is going to steer us to have our more questions in our small groups. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maina. And thank you so much to the panel. I really just want to honor each and every one of you. I think for your authenticity, I think for your vulnerability and really being honest about the experiences that you've had. I think that was incredibly valuable. And I think that you honored the complexity, I think, of this topic, and that it is not an easy one, and it's not a simple one, and it's not a it's not something that we're expecting to hear from people who are perfect, but we are wanting to hear from people who've really lived this out. And I think that's what we really did today. So I really just want to thank each and every one of you for your time and your experience.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.